Good evening, welcome callers.
Good evening, and blessings to all.
Good evening, Apostle.
How are you, Pastor Dr. Singleton, and to everyone?
I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help, your help, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I am
only
triumphant today.
Amen. Only way to go. Only way to go.
Amen. Good evening, welcome.
Namaste and good evening. How's everyone percolating today?
Grace.
Awesome, man. How are you?
I'm doing M-Y-T-F-I-N.
Mighty fine.
You are triumphant, sir.
Well, good evening, August 2024, and we welcome you to the call. We welcome you to the three P's and the E. We welcome you to praise, prayer, preaching, and equipping the saints in accordance with Matthew 28:19. We're going to begin our session tonight with prayer from Deacon Liberty Henderson, followed by a song, and then we will have our walk in the Word. We're ready.
Father God Almighty, we come before you this evening, God, to glorify you, God, to praise you, to lift your name on high, because you are the one and only true and living God. You are our creator. You are God, our one and only source. And Father God, we are nothing without you. God, we need you. We come praising you, God, because you are omniscient. God, you have knowledge of all things. No matter what is going on in this world that is not right, God, you still have knowledge of it. You know how it's going to end because you are sovereign. Your power super rules over any power or authority that's here on earth. God, we can rest and have peace through whatever we're going through because you are omnipresent. You're with us. You're there with us going through it. You're there strengthening us, keeping us, and guiding us. And Father God, we look to you because you are the author and finisher of our faith. And apart from you, God, we are nobody, we're nothing. Heavenly Father, we ask, will you forgive us of our sins? Will you cleanse us of all those things that are not of you? And we ask, God, will you create in us a clean heart? Please, God, renewing us with right spirit. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for how you have continued to keep us throughout this day. We want to thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us with all the necessities of life and many of the things that our hearts desire you have granted them to us. God, we want to thank you that you continue to walk with us on this journey of life, always causing us to triumph through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But God, we want to thank you most importantly for your love, your kindness, your grace, your mercy, and that you bestowed upon us your only begotten Son to redeem us. You sacrificed him. You allowed him, God, to be mistreated, to be abused, to be denied, all because you wanted us, God, to be in the right relationship with you that we once lost in the garden. God, we are so grateful that you allowed our Savior to rise to declare all power in his hand. And God, we, as his, your children, have accepted Jesus as our Lord and say we want to thank you that we have that same power to rise above lack. We have that same power to rise above sickness and disease. We have that same power to walk in peace because we have accepted Jesus. We thank you for that transfer of power. And we ask now, God, as we sit at this table to learn more of your word, we want to thank you for our facilitator for the night. We ask, God, Jesus, that you lead and guide us. And as we sit at this table, God, I'm asking that you clear our minds, free our minds of anything that's not of you. And we ask, God, that you will empower us with the Holy Spirit to have the spirit of discernment to know how to minister to those that we come in contact with. Help us to always have the attitude of humility. And when we're talking with people and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they can feel comfortable conversing with us, letting us know how they feel. And help us to know what to say, when to say, and how to say it. Help us to mind our speech and not speak our mind, God. God, I just pray now your blessings will fall afresh upon everyone on this line and their families. I thank you for our pastors and our ministers that come on this line to feed us your word. I pray your blessings upon them and their family. And I ask God as they continue to walk in your word, as they continue, Father God, to teach and preach to the communities, Lord, that you will give them simplicity and understanding to speak to others.
Yes.
I just ask God now as we sit at this table, Holy Spirit, take over this session. And when we depart, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will continue to infuse us with the power to be the men and women, the disciples that our Savior Jesus called us to be. We ask you, Savior, you God, and praise and glorify you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Gonna lay down my burden down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Down by the riverside, gonna lay down my burden. Down by the riverside to study war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. No, I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study ain't gonna study the war no more. I'm gonna try on my long white robe down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. I'm gonna try on my long white robe down by the riverside. To study war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. No, I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more.
Amen.
I'm gonna try on my golden crown down by the riverside. I'm gonna try on my golden crown down by the riverside to study the war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my burden down by ain't gonna study one no more. Ain't gonna study one no more. Well, ain't gonna study one no more. Well, ain't gonna study one no more.
Amen.
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 That was a good one.
Amen. Down by the riverside.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yes. Down by the riverside. Amen, brother. Amen. Long time. That was a blessing. Amen. Amen. Man, I just want to check on the mic. Can y'all hear me okay? Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. That is so awesome. Praise God. Don't study war no more. Lay down my breath.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Down by the riverside. Amen, amen. God bless the saints on the line tonight. We're just so excited to be on the line tonight with the saints of God. I thank God for this ministry, these ministries that come together. Thank God for prayer from Brother Everett. Blessed us into the throne of grace and that song by Deacon Connor.
Yeah.
By the riverside. Man, you're so blessed already. We just pray that the Lord will guide us tonight. The Holy Spirit is with us. And we can continue our journey in the book of Romans. We're walking through the book of Romans. What a wonderful journey. It's a long journey, but it's going to be a good journey. And I thank God for the week that we started out as we looked into the book of Romans to see Paul is writing this letter to them. He carried that letter to them and read it to them. And we're walking through it and trying to hear it and receive what Paul is saying to the church. And we are the church. We are the workmanship of God's hand. So we need to hear what God is saying. So I'm so thankful tonight. I want to kind of go into this and kind of look back a little bit. Last week we had just a story so wonderfully eloquently ministered us last Tuesday, and we was blessed by her teaching. So now we are back on the road to Rome. So we stopped a little bit and on this, and had a good lesson and good teaching from her last week, and now we back on the road to Rome. All roads lead to Rome, amen? Amen. So we're going to look at that. We had stopped at, I think the last time, 2 weeks ago, we did chapters 3 and 4 of Romans. And so you all did some recap of that. So we know back then when we did that, we kind of gave a summary for you all to be able to read so you'd be able to look at that. Looking through chapters 1 through 4, in a summary of that, Paul told the Romans, telling us that no one is without sin and guilt before a holy God, and that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And that's for everyone who believes in him. And so it does not matter whether you are a lawless rebel rebelling against God, or if you're a self-righteous moralist, a good person, amen, or whether you think you're justified by trying to keep the law perfectly, as the Jews were law-keeping Jews, you are still a sinner who cannot stand before a holy God and be justified or accepted as righteous without the blood of Jesus. So let's look at some of the terms that we covered last time we were together on this topic. And let's kind of look at some of those words, and we just want to go through some of these words and definitions as we're trying to get a better understanding of these words and what they mean to us in the scripture text. But we're just going to take a little time, and I did send you these definitions, and let's just kind of go with justified. We want to continue to embrace that word, which means to be deemed or considered right or righteous before God. God declared us righteous. God declared Abraham to be righteous. Not because Abraham was perfect, not because Abraham was holy at that point, but because he believed God. And we can read in the last part of chapter 4, verse 18, it says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. God promised it, and so it would be so. And God told him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as 100 years old. I think he was 99. He was about 100 years old. And also,
Pastor Kuiper, you may want to check your Bluetooth.
Okay, sister, that's what I needed to know. I wanted to do a mic check. Let's do it. I'm going to make an adjustment here. Amen. Make an adjustment.
Okay, how does that go? Is that better?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Much better, much better.
Okay, well, let's go with that. Amen. Amen. So, Abraham, as we were saying, against all hope, he believed, amen, and so he became the father of many nations. I'll repeat that. Just as it had been said to him, God told him, so shall his seed be. His offspring will be multiplied. And so without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Only God can bring the dead back to life. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. He believed God and what he said he would do. But as he was strengthened in his faith, he gave glory to God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised, that this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God in what he said he would do, that God had the power to do what he had promised. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but for us also, all us on this line, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, God, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. So the fact that Jesus paid the price, we can be justified before God. So justified is a strong word for us, to be declared righteous, to be considered righteous before God. Not that we are perfect, but God has declared us righteous. He has acquitted us. We are free. The other word here is redemption. Let me try to work through these words a little bit. You can go back and read the definitions a little bit more just to let that sort of marinate in your mind, or, you know, resonate in your mind. Redemption. Redemption means to be delivered from or set free by paying a ransom or payment. Now, for us, the redemption by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross is how God purchased us. We were redeemed by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. and the shedding of his blood. His blood became the next word, propitiation, means to appease or satisfy or make amends or atone for something that was done that was wrong. So we being sinners could not satisfy him. Only the blood of Jesus. When we think about the Old Testament and we think about before Christ, as they had to bring animal sacrifices, those animal sacrifices could not remove sin. We're going to hear that in our lesson, hopefully tonight. We're going to see that it's the blood of Jesus. Only Jesus' blood satisfied God. And he did that once and for all,
hey,
as the Hebrew writer tells us. So now we have been redeemed, and he is satisfied about the blood of Jesus. Yes, that blood of Jesus, as far as the propitiation, it was the way, hallelujah, we get forgiveness from God. It speaks to the mercy seat or the lid, that cover that was on the Ark of the Covenant that was in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And when they were in the wilderness, the tabernacle, yes, that was the seat, the lid on the with the cherubims. That's where Moses sat, hallelujah, and communed with God. The Shekinah glory of God would descend upon the ark, and God would commune with him there, speak to him. It was also there that the high priest sprinkled the blood. The blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled on the lid as an act to satisfy God and obtain forgiveness for our sin. Yes, that propitiation, that forgiveness, that satisfying, appeasing God. Yes, so we're being declared righteous through justification, redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and the blood appeased God. So now we are declared righteous. Righteousness means moral standing or virtue or our character that's acceptable to God, which is a sinner can possess or own through his or her faith. So it's our faith, our belief in the grace of God offered to him, offered to us by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, which satisfied God as payment for our sin. Oh, there's a lot of purchasing going on. God paid, he paid the price to purchase us. Yes, for God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for our sins, that whosoever should believe on Christ should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, that faith. Faith is another word that we touch upon. Faith is the conviction or belief of the truth of anything with respect to our relationship to God. It's linked to the trust in God and what God says. And if God says it, he'll bring it to pass. If God promises, it's going to happen. And so we can have faith and believe and have conviction in our hearts to know that God is true to what he says. So if he says that whosoever should believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life, we know God will bring that to pass for those who have faith. Faith is the belief that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Yes, even when Jesus came, John the Baptist came first as a forerunner preaching the kingdom of God was at hand. Yes, it's here. And then Jesus comes and picks it up and preaches the same message and fulfills it in his life. The kingdom of God was ushered in. We have the grace of God that covers us. What is grace? Grace is the kindness given or offered to someone who does not deserve it. We tend to call it unmerited favor. Ah, but we want the favor of God on our life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As sinners, it is the pardon or forgiveness and eternal salvation God offers and agrees to give us if we have faith, if we trust and believe in the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, the good news that Jesus is the Messiah and that he came and suffered, bled, and died for our sins. This faith produces a reverence for God and an obedience to his will. So we don't have greasy grace, as some people like to call it. We don't have a grace that's not empowering us. It is by the grace of God that we are empowered to live a holy life. We are so in gratitude, we have gratitude to God for what he has done. And because we have faith, we're saved by faith through grace and not of ourselves. It is that gift of God. Not that we deserve it. No, not that we deserve it. Not that anybody could go around boasting about what they've done in keeping the law. Yes, but it's the gift of God unto salvation. Yes, sanctification. So once we have been justified, knowing that we were bought with the price, God is satisfied. We've been declared righteous. Our faith is strong, and we are living in the grace of God. Then that grace where we stand, we are being sanctified. So sanctification is a process. After just being justified before God, just as if we had not sinned, we are justified. And then we are in the process of sanctification. That's the journey. Oh, my goodness. Justification seems like a point when we believe and have faith. We get declared righteous, but we must grow. The old man must be lessened, and the new man, the new creature, must grow in the process of sanctification. That's the state of being where the believer who has been justified is now set apart, separated, dedicated to God for a life of holiness and service to the kingdom of God. I know I got some saints on the line that you know that you have been set apart for the service to the kingdom of God. Yes, that's the kingdom that we serve. We become holy, that is purified, as God is holy, he's pure. Yes, he called us to be holy just as he is holy. We are his workmanship. Oh, yes. We belong to him. I know there's some saints on the line. I hope you know you belong to the Lord. You belong to God. You are his masterpiece, created in Jesus Christ to do good works. So there's still works to be done. Not that works save us, but faith without works is dead. So it's the process of a gradual growth in godliness, our practical holy living. That's what sanctification is. Somebody on this line is sanctified. You're being sanctified. We're walking into this glory, being sanctified daily, working out our own soul salvation in fear and trembling. Oh, yes, we not fear of just fright, but in awe of God, that I can be declared righteous, and I can walk, I'm free, and I can walk in the beauty of holiness. Yes, we should want to be holy because he's holy. He said be holy as he's holy. We can be set apart for God's purpose, for God's glory. Oh, that's a tough thing to do because we are in this world, but we got to realize we're in this world, but we're not to be of the world. How hard that is sometimes. We're caught up in the culture of the day. The Romans were caught up into the culture. They came out of that culture, but they came into a new kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world, but it is something that we all can partake of because of our faith in Christ Jesus. Yes, so let's continue to study and meditate on these terms, and as we go back and continue to read this wonderful letter to help us along the way. So, yes, I read the last part of chapter 4, and I'm going to ask now, hallelujah, as we move forward, we'll try to move forward into chapter 5 tonight, and we'll see if we can get to chapter 6. But so that you might hear the word of God in your hearing tonight, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to ask if Dr. Singleton would minister to us tonight by reading the first 11 verses of chapter 5 in our ear.
Amen. I want to say good evening to each of you that are joining with us in our Tuesday walk in the Word as we continue our walk through the book of Romans and as we go to chapter number 5 this evening. As we look at chapter number 5, Pastor Kuiper, thank you so much for going back over what that word justification means, because tonight as we look at chapter 5, we are going to look at the benefits of justification, the benefits of being justified. So I'm going to read tonight from the Amplified. I know some of you may have the NIV or the KJV or other translations, but I'm going to read from the Amplified on tonight as we walk through these first 11 verses. I want you to just kind of jot down, what is it that you hear? What have you gleaned or will you observe as we read this scripture that has been penned, a letter that has been penned by Paul to the church there at Rome? And it reads, beginning with verse number 1, therefore, since we are justified, meaning acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Verse 2. Through him also we have our access, that means entrance, introduction by faith into this grace, that means state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand. Oh, listen to the benefits that we have tonight of being justified. And let us rejoice and be triumphant in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Verse number 3. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us be triumphant in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produces patience and unwavering endurance. Verse 4, and endurance, you all, that fortitude develops maturity of character. That means approved faith and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Verse 5, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Notice the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. While we were yet in weakness, verse number 6, we were powerless to help ourselves. At the fitting time, Christ died for, in behalf of the ungodly. Verse 7, now it is an extraordinary thing for one to give his life, even for an upright man, though perhaps for a noble and lovable and generous benefactor, someone might even dare to die. But oh, look at verse number 8, you all. But God shows and clearly proves his own love for us, that's you and I, by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, he died for us. Verse 9, therefore, since we are now justified, there's that word again, meaning that we are acquitted, we are made righteous and brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood. That's how it came about. How much more certain is it that we shall be saved by him from the indignation and the wrath of God? Verse number 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Notice how we were reconciled, you all, through the death of his son. John 3:16, right there. It is much more certain now that we are reconciled that we shall be saved, daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection, his life. Verse number 11. Not only so, but we also rejoice. We are triumphantly getting the glory in God, in his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation. There's another word right there, reconciliation. Pastor Kiefer, that's verses 1 through 11, reading from the Amplified Bible on tonight, looking at the benefits of being justified.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That is so powerful just to hear it and reading in our ears. What I see there as you began to read, what was coming to me as I see this was a journey to hope in the first couple of verses. We're moving to hope. Yes, we're justified, but something has to be done after that to bring us to that hope that doesn't make us ashamed. Sometimes we have to go through some things. And so what I saw there, and I know others have seen, may see some other things there, is that when we go through, we gain access by faith into the grace in which we stand now. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. But we also glory in our sufferings. Because we know that those sufferings produce perseverance, that perseverance, character. So first thing is sometimes we're going to suffer. We will experience suffering on this journey. And so in that suffering, we know that we can be assured because we have hope. And the confident assurance of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. So our sufferings lead us to the next thing. How will we know how to persevere through difficult times if we don't suffer something? I'm sure everybody on the line tonight, Dr. Singh, they have suffered something. And hopefully through that challenge or that trial, it produced something that would enable them to persevere. And as they're persevering through that trial, that suffering, is producing a character in them. And that character, see, the Bible talks about character, who you become and who you are when nobody's watching, who you are when you're going through difficult times. Some people in the world will go through difficult times and they don't handle it very well. Maybe some of us on the line have had things that came against us in our lives that created suffering, shame, or whatever it may be, and we didn't do it very well. But God is working something out in us. Yes, the perseverance, the character. And when we have the character that God wants us to have, we will have hope. Listen, we would have hope. And I love that part of hope not making us ashamed. Because we know that God loved us so much, as you said, that his love was shed, he shed it abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So it's by the Holy Spirit that we experience this blessed hope. And we hope and we grab on to that hope. So I see this journey to hope here in chapter 5 and the first chapter there. And it was just so much. And just to know that some people may sacrifice their life for somebody, but since we have been justified by Christ's blood, we know that we are saved because he died for us. He demonstrated his love for us that while we were yet in our sin as sinners, Christ died for us. We ought to be able to shout just on that, that he died for us. So thank you so much in reading that, in our hearing, in our ear. Let us absorb the text. Minister Singleton, would you continue on with this reading in chapter 5 at verse 12 and anything else that you would want to add as you go through?
Yes, sir. One of the things that I observed, and I don't know about others, but just looking at verse number 1, the peace that we now have with God because we have been justified, meaning that we are no longer enemies, meaning that we are no longer strangers, meaning that we have a new identity in Christ Jesus. This justification, the finished work of Jesus at Calvary and his resurrection, brought us into a place, number one, that we can have peace with God, the reconciliation piece of it. And the second thing is that we have access to grace in which we stand. Grace, receiving that which we do not deserve. And for me as a disciple of Christ, having the ability to be able to enter in, into that place of God's favor, and to be able to stand firmly in that place and flat-footed in that place, knowing that I'm not there because of what I did. Because as it said, it was through Abraham's believing, Abraham's faith, Abraham's trust in God, because he couldn't boast in anything that he had done. Because we cannot boast. It is not anything that we have done to be able to be justified. But it is, as I say, through the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary, the finished works of Jesus there at Calvary. So tonight, as a disciple of Christ, as I look at this chapter, I see my identity. I see my benefit that I have by being a part of the kingdom of God. And when I hold on to that, when I'm going through trials and tribulations, I don't lose my identity. I don't lose the fact that I know that I'm more than a conqueror. I don't lose the fact that I'm a child of the King. I don't lose the fact that I am redeemed. I don't lose the fact that I am forgiven. And too many times when we go through those storms, we sometimes may feel like, who am I? Does the Lord hear me? Is the Lord with me? And so this, what this scripture brings alive for me is the hallelujah moment of just understanding what justification is, understanding the access that I now have as one who has been justified and is in the process of sanctification. So I thank you this evening as you talked about the winds of life, because we have to, the winds, W-H-E-N-S, when trouble comes, when the storms of life come, what is God producing on the inside of me versus me walking around in a defeat mode of saying, why me? Why is this happening to me? I have to look at it from the standpoint of what is God producing in me? What he's making me into a diamond. And if we know diamond in the rough, he has to work that diamond. And when you're on the potter's wheel, there's some turning, there's some molding, there's some chipping away. So we as disciples of Christ have to see hardships and trouble in a different way. And that, what is God producing in me? And my question, Lord, is what is it that you want me to be better at? What lessons learned do I get from this? Because he's maturing me. So thank you for bringing that forth to us on the night. And two, us accepting this love that God, not only, he clearly showed me he loved me, And he clearly proved that he loved me by giving his only begotten son, but not when I was justified, but before I was ever justified, while we were still yet sinners, he died for us. So for me, this is a hallelujah moment because he's talking about me. He's talking about me here on tonight. So thank you again. We'll continue our reading. Be picking up with verse number 12 here in Romans chapter 5. Reading again from the Amplified. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as the result of sin, so death spread to all men, no one being able to stop it or to escape its power, because all men sinned. Verse 13, to be sure, sin was in the world before ever the law was given. The sin is not charged to men's account where there is no law to transgress. Verse 14, yet death held sway from Adam to Moses, the lawgiver, even over those who did not themselves transgress a positive command, as Adam did. Adam was a type of the one who was to come in reverse, the former destructive, the latter saving. But verse 15 says, but God's free gift is not at all to be compared to the trespass. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. For if many die through one man's falling away, much more profusely did God's grace and the free gift that comes through the undeserved favor of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound and overflow to and for the benefit of many. Verse 16, nor is the free gift at all to be compared to the effect of that one man's sin. For the sentence following the trespass of one man brought condemnation, whereas the free gift, notice what it brought, whereas the free gift following many transgressions brings justification and act of righteousness. Wow. Verse 17, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, his unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Verse 18, well then, as one man's trespass, one man's false step, and falling away led, notice what it led to, condemnation for all men. So one man's act of righteousness leads to acquittal and right standing with God and life for all men. I read to verse 18, Pastor Kuiper, did you want me to read further?
Let's stop for a moment. Let's park there for just a moment, Minister Singleton. So powerful. I'm just feeling the power of God. Ooh. Doesn't that make you want to be good? Doesn't it make you want to behave right? Doesn't it bring out good character? God, Adam failed us. Yes, he fell. He fell and brought sin into the world. By that one man, sin came into the world. So we're born in sin, as the psalmist said, but in sin did my mother conceive me. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, the grace of God, in the blood of Jesus, the justification that we can have. Don't I want to be more like him? That is just so powerful. I'm just thinking about that power, that just knowing that we have this grace, the abounding grace, so much grace. How much love our God loves us to even reach out, send his son, that we might have a right to be able to be part of the eternal kingdom of God, to be able to be reconciled to him, to be brought back in fellowship with him. I just think about the power of that and just staying in awe in that and just loving God. It just makes me want to, you know, it makes me want to just say, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. I didn't deserve it. Yes, but you gave it to us. You gave us that gift that we have received through faith. God is awesome. So, Minister Singers, if you have some other thoughts, please share those at this time, and then we can read on to the end of the chapter.
I think what we'll do is keep reading, and then there may be others on the line that would like to share what this love means to them and the sacrifice that God gave to us by sending his only begotten son so
Amen.
That we can be justified, so that we can be reconciled, so that we can experience this blessing of justification, not only the peace with God, not only the access to grace, not only being able to rejoice in hope even when tribulations come, not only God's love in our hearts that we have, and that hope never disappoints us and salvation from God's wrath, but also even looking as we walk through this, looking at the comparing Christ with Adam, the first Adam, how sin entered the world through that one man, but how God says, no, I don't want the separation to continue between me and man, and what he was willing to do by sending Jesus being that bridge from man to God, back to God. And to me, as I read this scripture even the more, and as I have read over in Romans even more, many of you all have read, when you get over to Romans chapter 8, when you see there is now no condemnation. And we can shout tonight that there is no condemnation. And being able to experience this unmerited favor, this overflowing grace that we have, receiving that which we don't deserve. And I even see mercy holding back the very thing that I do deserve. But again, going back to the hope that we have in him and being acquitted because of Jesus and the finished work at Calvary. So let's pick back up at verse number 19.
I was just looking at, so in Adam, we die because of sin. But in Christ, we live.
Yes.
And I think that's where you're headed now. So let's go ahead, sister. Let's go ahead. God bless you.
Picking up at verse number 19, still in the Amplified translation. For just as by one man's disobedience, failing to hear, heedlessness, and carelessness, the many were constituted sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be constituted righteous, made acceptable to God, brought into right standing with him. Now remember, I'll say it again, verse 19, for just as by one man's disobedience, him failing to hear, being careless, being heedlessness, it constituted us to be sinners. But then it said, look at the hope. So by man's obedience, one man's obedience, the many will be constituted righteous, made acceptable to God, brought into right standing with him. Verse number 20. But then law came in only to expand and increase the trespass, making it more apparent and exciting opposition. Oh, but I love this word, but, B-U-T. But where sin increased and abound, grace, God's unmerited favor, has surpassed it and increase the more and super abound. This is what the grace, God's unmerited favor, did for us. It surpassed it. It surpassed that opposition. It surpassed that trespass. And it increased the more and super abound. Verse 21. So that just as sin has reigned in death, so grace, God's unmerited favor, his unearned and undeserved favor, might reign also through righteousness. That's a right standing with God, which issues in eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, our Lord. That concludes Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 21, reading from the Amplified on tonight translation.
Ooh, the Amplified is so powerful. It's just so powerful to hear. And just I just heard that about the law. When it came, it expanded the transgression. Yeah, because now we got something written down in law that God has given the Israelites. And, oh, my goodness, it's because of the law we know that we have sinned. But the grace of God, the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And so the law brought in more trespass. That was powerful to me. I heard that, and it spoke in my spirit. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Yes, so that just as sin reigns in death, so also grace reigns through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace is increasing. Trespass increases. But we must be careful. We're probably going to end up concluding here, but we know when we move into chapter 6, Paul is going to start asking some questions, because they're a question. Because if one might ask the question, well, if grace is going to expand because of sin expansion, should we continue in sin, that grace continue to abound? God forbid. So we'll move into that, but that's so powerful. I'm just so thankful, though, the peace and hope that this chapter brings to us, to understand that that death came through Adam, but life through Jesus Christ. We are now declared righteous. It's so much repeated here about the grace of God, the justification that we have, the grace in which we stand. We can come standing boldly before the Lord because of the grace of God. We stand in that grace through our faith. And so we should always be thankful and say, thank you, Lord. So I thank God for that. And I know there are others on the line, as you said, may have thoughts and kind of contribute to nuggets that they see in the text. I'm looking forward to hearing that and just knowing that God has been so good to us just to give his only begotten son. And like I said, I express this in the way that I'm expressing it tonight because I am excited about these chapters. I am excited about the fact that when Paul started out, he pointed out the sin and depravity of everybody, that all had sinned. But when he starts moving into chapter 5, he told them about faith and how Abraham was justified by faith in chapter 4. But when he's getting to 5, he's saying, listen, you guys may be going through some suffering, but it's building something in you to a character that gives you hope in the midst of your circumstances. I know whatever you're going through tonight, saints on the line, you got to have hope. You have to build that character to hope. You will persevere even under the pressure of whatever God is allowing you to go through. So whatever we are dealing with, let us always have that hope. And that word hope is still resonating with me, Minister Singleton, from a week or so ago. We need to have that hope and keep it alive in our faith and know that God will carry us through. So I encourage everybody on the line to keep walking in faith. So as I see that, we stop there about Adam, we die, and in Christ, we live. Blessed be the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If there's anybody on the line, go ahead, Dr. Singleton. Go ahead.
And I think too, Pastor Kiper, one of the things we bring out is in this chapter is what we receive as disciples of Christ, a part of this justification and the benefits of justification and receiving Christ as our personal Savior, making the Romans 10:9-10 sincere declaration and being connected to the true vine, is that we have eternal life. We have eternal life. You know, it talks about the death and what came with man and Adam, and we know what happened over in the garden when God gave them explicit instructions on what to do and what not to do, and they did the very thing he said not do. And then when I look at with him sending his only begotten son, John 3:16, and then him coming and going to the cross and the finished works that I now have an opportunity to receive, which I have, I now have a benefit of eternal life. That eternal life starts the day in which I give my life to Christ. It doesn't start when I get over in the great by and by, but I have now the benefits of grace. I have the benefits of mercy. I have the benefits of forgiveness. I have the benefits of knowing when I'm going through the trials that I can persevere. Why? Because Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. And it mentioned in earlier verses about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And knowing that I'm reconciled, meaning the act of bringing peace between two parties, between man and God, I'm reconciled back to him, because when man did what he did, first Adam did what was done there in the garden, I wasn't. But because of this reconciliation, the bringing about the peace between man and God and what Jesus did for us, that I can say I am reconciled. That's a part of my identity, of being a part of the kingdom of God. So I love as this scripture unfolded tonight, when we look at the comparison between the first man, Adam, and Christ. As you said, Adam brought us physical death, but Jesus Christ, he brought us spiritual life. And my role as a disciple is to walk in obedience, aligning my life, aligning my will to his will, and to realize that I am alive, that I am free.
Yeah.
I'm free. Condemnation does not hold me. The sin does not hold me, but I'm free, and that grace is what abounds, not sin, but grace is what abounds in my life. So I just thank you for the leading us in this passage tonight and reading, like you say, the different translations. And I encourage all of us, as we walk through Romans, read it from a different translation and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and see what do you observe from this. What is it saying to you? Because it said to me tonight where I once was and what the first Adam led us into. But, oh, I thank God for loving me enough to send his only son that delivered me, where I am now justified. I'm now reconciled, and I now am the righteousness of God, not because of anything that I've done, but because of the finished work of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. I can now say that a part of my identity is I am justified. I can walk in right standing with God, and with Holy Spirit operating in me, I can live the life that he's called me to live. I can live pleasing and aligned to his will. So thank you again tonight. And like I say, I know others want to just share what is it, what words jumped out to you in the scripture reading tonight. What did you observe about yourself and your relationship with Christ Jesus?
Amen. Anybody? Amen.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Pastor Kiper, I tell you, it's a lot. What I want us to be reminded of is John 3:16 through 18. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. Now, y'all may be saying, where am I going with that? Well, let's look at our lives. We don't have the right to judge anybody. We don't have the right to question their belief. But what we do have the right to do through our Savior Jesus is we have the right to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you were, Dr. Singleton, reading this chapter, hope jumped out at me. Hope didn't make me ashamed as I experienced trials and tribulations. Now, there were some things I bought on myself, and I thank God for the indwelling presence of his voice who made me aware of those things to make a change, to do a 180 turn for my life. I've gotten past what people have said about me many years ago, because when I was out there nibbling in the sweet grass of life, there was a lot of other church folks living in the sweet grass of life with me. But that wasn't to say I was supposed to judge them, and they were to judge me. But it does happen. And we have to come to a point to realize and understand that each and every day of our lives, we have three enemies. We have the flesh, we have the world system, and we have Satan. And we must learn each and every moment of our lives to handle how we can handle it, the spiritual, cosmic warfare that we're in. And we can't do it on our own. That's why we have to submit ourselves to Christ, and we have to ask God for his guidance. I recognize things that aren't always what they seem. You never know what people have gone through. You never know what their experiences are in life that have made them move or act the way that they act. Some people act out of anger, bitterness. Some act out of trying to defend themselves because they never have ever had anyone come to their rescue. But it is our duty as men and women of God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to let them know that our Savior, Jesus, has overcome anything that they were experiencing. They don't have to fight this battle alone because they didn't create themselves. And we have to get that message out. I'm going through something right now, and I realize in you reading this chapter that it's teaching me patience, it's teaching me endurance. And as I look back over my life and what I'm going through, God ain't never took his hand off me. Even when I was out there in the street, God didn't take his hand off me. God was still working in and through my life. Yeah. He disciplined me, but that's what fathers do. That's what parents do to their children. They discipline their children. It don't feel good, but he disciplines us in hopes that we will come to realize that we're going down the wrong path, and I thank him for that. I never thought I'd ever get to say that, but now I do. I understand. So we have to get the message of Jesus Christ out. We're going to have to be patient with people, because we didn't always have it together. We're going to have to get out of our mindset judging a person up about what we probably have heard about them or what we've probably seen about them that doesn't right. Because there again, a lot of things that you see sometimes are not always what they are. But we are so quick. We're so quick to write people off. And we better be very careful in how we judge people and write people off. Because I assure you, God will show you in your own family what that exists itself. Sometimes it'll hit the children. Sometimes it hit the grandchildren. Or someone very close, and you'll say, I didn't raise that person up this way. Or that person wasn't raised that way. But life changes will make people do things out of character. And in closing, I remind us again, every morning that we wake up, we have three enemies. That's our flesh, that's the world system, and that's Satan. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Amen. Yes, brother, we got a lot that we have to face, but we have that hope. And we, because of hope, we can keep going. Our faith. God bless you for those comments. Is there anybody else on the line to share with us tonight?
One word that stuck out for me will always be grace. Because no matter what you go through or what circumstances or what tribulation you find yourself in, even in moments of reward, you think about God's grace because it's sufficient. No matter what you do or what you don't do, it doesn't run out. It goes everywhere that you go. Everything is ever in his presence. So I just thank God for his grace because it's definitely sufficient. And it is enough. You don't need anything else. God is God all by himself. He don't need our help for anything. But we give him the praise and worship because we're so thankful for everything that he has done for us. And thus far, over my life, I can't look back and think of any situation that he has not been there for me and provided that grace and mercy that I need in every situation. So when I look back over the text, what stood out for me was grace. Thank you.
Amen, sister. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Apostle?
Amen.
Yes, yes, brother.
I want to piggyback on something you said. I had it in my notes, but I got carried away in my own thinking, and I forgot to share that. That's hope. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews 10:35, it says, cast not away your confidence, for it has a great recompense of reward. And when Pastor Singleton was sharing the reading, I got a little deeper in it because that lets us know that we can't throw away our belief in God. We can't throw away that memory bank of deliverances that we've overcome through the strength of Jesus. We can't throw away the teachings of the Holy Spirit. We have to continue to have that confidence, knowing that no matter what we're going through, God is still with us, because Isaiah 41:10 constantly reminds us. He says, not to fear, he's with us. Be not dismayed, he's our God. He will trust in us and help us. He will uphold us with his righteous right hand. He's there with us. He's never forsaken us. So we have to hold on to that confidence, because God expects us to have faith in him. And that pleases God. So we even though we go through things, we still have to have the faith and confidence in God, because as our sister just said, God don't need our help. We need his help. And the only thing we have to do is continue on the pathway of studying his word and communicating with him. Yes, he's all-knowing, but God needs to hear from us all the time that we need to. God, this is what I'm going through. And he'll come to your rescue. So cast not away your confidence, because it does have a great recompense, a reward of peace, calmness, clarity of mind, healing in your body. That your pathway will be illuminated even more. You'll see things clear. Even when the enemies come at you, you'll be prompted. You'll know it. And God will equip you to know how to handle it. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I thank God for this walk in the Word tonight. Amen. And we were able to listen to the scripture read and to be reminded and to even hear new thoughts and things about this grace that is sufficient for our every need. It brought peace with God. We don't like to think about it, but when we were in our trespasses and sins, we were enemies to God. And so to yeah. say now that we have peace with God,
yeah.
that is a blessing all by itself. That,
hallelujah.
You know, we wrestle with things when we weren't saved. Even there are some people that would hear voices and those type of things, and other people would get into things that they tried to maybe drown or overcome with alcohol and other substances. We were enemies to God, but now we have yeah. peace with God.
Yeah.
And that is a blessing. It didn't say we have peace with the world. We didn't have peace with the devil. We didn't have peace with our own flesh. Glory to God. Amen. We didn't have peace even in the sin sometime. We enjoyed some things when we were in the world, but we didn't have peace with those things. But God, through Jesus Christ, hallelujah, amen, he became an introducer to us. He introduced us to the peace of God through the cross. It's not like we went on an interview for a job, but in Ephesians, Paul tells us that we should walk worthy of the
yes.
vocation wherein we are called. And that vocation, I believe I heard Pastor Kiefer talk about holiness. That vocation is as Christians, as followers of Christ, our vocation
yes.
is holiness. And
yes.
now we can walk. We don't, it's not a grace that we experience. I heard the sister say, it's not something we just do every now and then, but he has brought us a standing in this grace. We can stay right there. We can dig in. We can just plant our feet and be rooted in this grace where
yes.
we stand. We were enemies, but we've taken another stand. We are children of God.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen. We are in another kingdom. Blessed
yes.
be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
Because of what this reconciliation has done and what it has brought us. And when we was far away from him in our trespasses, he has brought us near. And he has. We're standing in this thing. It's not like something we have every now and then, but it's a continual thing. We have been guaranteed the presence of God to be with us. Hallelujah. As the sister say, whatever we face, whatever we go through, this thing can be permanent. Amen. It don't have to be an in and out. We have been introduced to the divine presence of God. Yea, though we walk through the valley and the shadow, we have to not fear because he is with us. We've been introduced and we can stand there. It's a permanent thing. It can be permanent. It's a lasting privilege that we have with Jesus Christ, being made friends of him. He said, you are my friends if you do what I say do. We have been given so much through this justification, through this being made right. It's something we could not do ourselves. We could not obtain ourselves. We couldn't grasp it. We could not hold it. The Bible said there were times when we was alienated from God, but we've been made near now. We've been drawn by his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He introduced it. He put it within us. He put that change. He put that desire to repent, to turn, to give us a change of mind and a change of direction. Glory to God. And it is a blessed thing. I mean, if we're not careful sometime going along, we can take things for granted. But to hear God's word again tonight and be reminded that we are in him, we are a follower of Jesus Christ because of what he done. He drew us. We could not come ourselves, but he drew us. He introduced us to a better way when we didn't have peace. God introduced us through Jesus Christ to the Lamb of God and gave us peace, the peace of reconciliation to draw us near to him, to bring us to himself when we couldn't do it. Sometimes I like to think we was on that one-way street and heading for that tractor trailer, and we could not rescue ourselves. But in due time, Christ died for us to give us that peace and that right to reconciliation to Jesus Christ and to make us a part of the family of God. We didn't go just to get an interview for this vocation, but he introduced us to divine will, to divine presence, to all of the joys and things that we have today. And he don't keep a score sheet of the past. He wipes the slate clean, and he continued to cleanse us and to make us more like him every day. And so it is a blessing just to be able to hear the scripture read again in our hearing, that we can remember all that Christ has done for us through faith. All he asked us to do was believe, and he gave us that ability to believe. There are people that the scripture talks about, they are hard to believe, but in due time he gave us that ability to hear what the word of God says. And as he all time repeats himself in the book of Revelation, let him that have an ear hear. So he gave us the ability to hear the word one day and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he introduced us to a better way of living. Instead of being far away from Christ and far away from God, he drew us near and gave us the ability to hear the call and to come. And now we're standing in that unmerited favor. We're able to dwell in the presence of the Almighty God because of what he has done. He captured the enemy that had captured us and gave us access to God. And I am so grateful today because of the work of Calvary. We couldn't do it ourselves. There was nothing that we could do to change our situation, but the Savior gave us a new start and started a process on put us on the wheel and began to grind us down and make us all over again and make us more like him. And so now we're standing in grace, in the grace of God, that unmerited favor, because he done the work and he gave us the ability to receive, to hear and to receive. And to hear is to do. It let him that have an ear, let us hear. The process is until we start to do it, the process has only begun. But I thank God, as listening to the reading of the word and the explanation expounding upon the word tonight, I was reminded what the Lord said to me in prayer years ago, dealing with different thoughts and things you hear sometimes. He spoke to me and he said, Calvary is the proof of his love. And that is the story of Romans, that the work of the cross is proof. Sometimes we may have people in our lives that we're not sure if they love us, but Calvary is proof tonight. Calvary is proof of the peace that we can have with God. Calvary is proof tonight of the grace wherein we stand. We've taken a stand, glory to God. This grace by faith where we were saved, we're standing in it. We're standing on it. Amen, glory to God. We're not moved from the hope of the gospel because we're standing by the grace of God. We're standing tonight by the peace of God and all that he had purchased for us through his cross. And tonight, Calvary is proof. Calvary is proof of every scripture, every promise. Amen. Glory to God. Calvary is the proof of what he's purchased in this peace wherein we stand. We're no more enemies. We don't have to stand afar off no more. We can come near. We can be in the family of God. He didn't just bring us in when he brought us in. He didn't just bring us in for an interview and then we go back out and wonder here and wonder there and wonder if we can get this job, this vocation wherein we stand. We didn't have to wonder about it when he brought us in. He wanted to receive us for eternity into the household of God. And we're standing in the household of God, in the family of God tonight because of this peace and this reconciliation in the grace and in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I bless him. Amen. Glory to God with all my heart tonight. I thank God for each of you. Thank God for the man of God that is leading this walk through the word. Thank God for the woman of God that read the scriptures to us from that translation to make it even easier to grasp and understand. Thank God for the opening of the service for our brother Everett and for the song that came through our deacon Carter tonight. And to each and every one that is on the line, God bless you. And let us remember we've been drawn near, and this can be a permanent thing. We don't have to go in and out. We don't have to wrestle with God. There were times when we wrestled with God, when we were in battle with God as enemies of the cross. We didn't want to obey sometime, but God brought us near, and he gave us the mind, the ears to hear, and the heart to believe, because he loved us, because Calvary is indeed proof of his love. And that's why we are standing in grace tonight. God bless you. Pray that everybody will have a blessed rest of your week, and that we will continue to stand strong in this grace wherein we stand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Apostle. Amen, Apostle. I just so much there, so powerful, all the comments that made, Brother Everett, and our sister who made comments, and all the comments tonight. You know, I just think about, you know, when we think about the love of God, the love of Christ, it's overwhelming. And you talked about we wrestle with God. But when we understand and we have the faith that brings about us just being justified, we don't have to wrestle.
Amen.
We declared righteous, so we have that declaration of our life. Now we must walk in the grace in which we stand. He's given us that grace. Let's walk in it into the holiness that God has for us to live. He wants us to do it. And it's just so beautiful when you think about it, because I know people know that they sometimes, you know, don't feel perfect in this thing. But it's that grace that gives you the power. You're standing in the grace. And you can live righteous before him, just as he declared us to be righteous. And so we just want to. I think people need that comfort, I guess, to have that peace and knowing that we were enemies with God. And like I say, that reconciliation, that restoring of the relationship with God, because sin cuts us off from God. And so to be reconciled with God is a beautiful thing. So it's just a beautiful, I just love to hear. Chapter 5 was one of my favorite chapters in Romans when I first came to the Lord, when I came across that, realizing that there will be a process of building my character. And just when I used to hear that part of the, and it, hope make us not ashamed, you know, because so many things could cause shame to our lives, but this hope that we have does not make us ashamed. And it's because of that love of God that's shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Thank you so much, Apostle. I don't want to get carried away too much on that, but I thank you so much for your comments. I thank you all for your comments. Who was that as I heard? That was the young lady that made comment on hope.
Sister Maxie.
Oh, God bless you tonight, too. God bless you for those comments. Amen, amen. Minister Singer, do you have anything else?
I think the connector to what Apostle said for me was, what I heard was, now that you have talked about this, now that you know it as a believer, what will you do? How will we apply this lesson tonight to our lives? And again, I'm like you. For me, the plan of salvation is captured here in Romans chapter 5. If we would just give this and work through this and share this with others, those that are unsaved, those that are not believers, those that are enemies and strangers to God. And for me, my application tonight is that, one, I know that I'm a citizen of a new kingdom, but how do I apply it? I apply it through telling the story to others. Tell the story of where we once was to where we are now and how we move from one stage of life, being over here an enemy of God, and now we are children of God, experiencing the unmerited favor of God called grace. So when I walk away from the lesson tonight, I walk away from number one is I'm called to tell this story to other unbelievers, boys and girls, men and women, to let them know that they do not have to live in condemnation, but they can be a part of the a citizen of the new kingdom, and that they can be called the righteousness of God, and how we do that. Because we can say we had a great Bible study. I was encouraged, certainly listening to all the comments. But what do we do with the message that we heard tonight? Will we tell somebody else, here is how you can move from this state of being unsaved, not saved, to a place of salvation, and here's who did it for you. Apostle, thank you so much in sharing that, what God shared with you. It's Calvary. Calvary is where he showed us his love, his love for me. As you said, whether anybody tells me they love me or not, I know that God loves me. I know God loves me, and he shows me that he loves me every single day. But I've got to go and show somebody else this same love, how they can have what I have in Christ Jesus, having this peace, having this access to grace, having this being able to rejoice in hope even in the midst of my trial, and then introducing them through being able for us to carry out Matthew 28:19-20. That's what it's all about. Is that we share with somebody else no matter where we are, whether we're sitting in the doctor's office, whether we are sitting at the Dollar General, whether we're sitting at a lot, wherever we are, we need you all to get this word out. Boys and girls are dying every day, 12, 10 years old, 13-year-old, even younger than that. And the first question I ask when they're at Bentley's, they're at Jones, they're at Richardson's, they're at every white, all of them, the question I ask, did that child give their life to Christ?
Yes.
They need this message. That's what's important. They need this message because we will cry, we are going to moan, we are going to grieve. But if they knew Christ Jesus, we would not grieve like the world grieves. Because we have introduced them, we have given them an opportunity to receive, whether they receive it or not. That's my role as a disciple of Christ, is to offer Christ to them. It's up to them. They have to do their part as to whether or not they will receive or reject. We as disciples, and we walk away from this lesson tonight knowing that we are justified, knowing that we have been reconciled with God, knowing that we do not live in condemnation, but we are the righteousness of God, and we got a new identity. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to share this message tonight with somebody else that don't know Jesus? Because they are leaving this world, you all, 10 years old, 13-year-old, gang shooters are being shot because they're in a place and a bullet hits and bullets don't have names on them. But notice this. What are we doing? That mother needs to know at least we tried to share Christ with her child. We tried to share. We did it, whether they received it or not. So I walk away tonight with a call to action to all of us on this line. What are you doing about your Jerusalem? Are you telling them about Jesus, that Jesus lives and that Jesus saves, and that they can be a part of the kingdom? Brother Everett was so right, John 3:16. That's love. Not only did he say he loved us, he showed us and demonstrated that he loved us. Now let us demonstrate our love for our sisters and brothers by sharing this message, by being able to come on the line next week and say, I share the message of the plan of salvation with 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 people, whether you did it via social media, whether you did it face-to-face,
whether you did it when you went to the hospital or the doctor's office, be able to say, thank you, Lord, for stirring me, giving me the words to say, and walk them through the plan of salvation. Let's begin to think about being called to action and being accountable for what God has called us to do. So my prayer for it tonight is, Lord, let me share this peace that you've given me. Let me share the opportunity where they can have the peace, where they can have the grace, where they will be able to stand when the storms of life is coming. That's my prayer point tonight, that I can give this same love to others, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, that God has shared with me.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. If there are no other comments tonight, hallelujah. We'll turn things back over to Deacon Connor. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for Dr. Singleton and Professor Kuiper for our little new tag team session on tonight. A new dynamic duo. So we're going to move on to praise reports. I know it's only Tuesday since we last talked on Sunday, but surely someone must have something to be grateful to God about. Amen.
Yeah, Deke, I'm so grateful, like I said, of the love of God and just being able to stand in the grace that he's given us. And just seeing God work out. I'm riding with my grandsons, taking them back and forth to practice, but they heard a lot of what we talked about tonight. And I can't wait to see what they have to say about what they heard as everybody was sharing their thoughts tonight. They were listening. And I just thank God for that. I'm thankful for them being with me during this time. So even while we were riding along, we're still talking about Jesus. And they heard all of you out as you shared your thoughts about Jesus. So God bless all the saints on the line. I'm so thankful. Amen.
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 Amen. Are there others? Anyone else?
I want to say I'm thankful tonight, you know, to be in a place even on a Tuesday night to be able to hear and be reminded of the Word of God. And it is a blessing, you know, to be able to have ears to hear and, you know, a spirit, a heart to receive. And so I'm thankful that even on a Tuesday night that we can continually hear and be reminded of the Word and what it is that God requires of us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Apostle. There are others? Anyone else? There's no one else. We move on to our prayer list. Anyone to be added to the prayer list?
T.J. Oliver.
T.J. Oliver. Come in.
I would like to add the Koga family, and I also would like to add myself, Shahida Maxwell, and family. Thank you.
Okay, Shahida, what was the family you added prior to you?
The Koga family, C-O-G-E-R.
Anyone else?
I would like to add to Keisha Milton.
I would like to add Shia Walden.
Others? Amen. Anyone else? There's no one else. We will have our scripture by Minister Dr. Deborah Singleton.
Amen. Tonight, our scriptures come from Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. And these scriptures are being read to encourage those whose names were called this evening. Also continue to keep Pastor Kuiper in prayer. He continues our walk through the book of Romans, Brother Everett as well, and others. Isaiah 41 and 10, it reads, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Isaiah 43 tonight and 2 reads this way, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle up on thee." Tonight, I pray that these scriptures will encourage you. And our last scripture comes from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse number 28. "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." But all you all look at verse number 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew." The first thing is you got to wait. And who you waiting on? You got to wait on the Lord. And notice what the first thing he said, "I do." He said, "I shall renew their strength." They shall mount up with what? With wings like eagles. Number three, they shall run and not be weary. And number four, they shall walk and not faint. I pray these scriptures will encourage those that are in the midst of a storm or a trial or a challenge or a tribulation. Know this, that God is with you, but you got to put your trust in him and your faith in him. Amen.
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 Very good.
Amen.
Yes, and amen.
Our Father, our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Coming to you asking your forgiveness for my many sins. I come, Lord, thanking you that one day somebody told me about Christ, assured salvation, and forgive my situations and of times that I failed to tell others about Christ and to share the plan of salvation. I come, Lord, asking that you would touch T.J. Oliver. Whatever his needs are, we ask you to meet them.
Do it, Lord.
We come lifting up the Coger family.
Yes.
You know what their needs are, Lord, so we asking you to be amongst them and to meet their needs.
Right now, Lord.
Yes.
And then we lift up Shaquita Maxwell.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you know Shaquita. She's one of your children.
Yes.
So we come right now in the name of Jesus, asking you to be with Shaquita.
Yes.
Whatever it is that she needs in her life, we asking you to do it and do it now.
Yes, do it, Lord.
And then, Lord, we lift up Takesha Milton. Oh, Lord, well, you know Takesha better than I do.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, we're asking you to stop by and touch Shakisha.
Yes,
right now,
Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And then there's Shia Walden, Lord. There's another one of your children that you know what their needs are and what they need.
Yes.
Meet their needs right now, Lord. And then we lift up Pastor Kaifa. We thanking you that he delivers the word and he delivers it well.
Yes.
And we ask that you would keep him and
yes,
help him to
Lord,
continue delivering
Lord.
The word and blessing
yes.
you as he does it. So, Lord, we lift up Everett. You know Everett's been going through some sick spells.
Yes.
So, Lord, we asking you to touch Everett's body
yes,
and heal
Lord.
Him one by one. Just
yeah.
a touch. Just a touch, Lord.
Yes.
So, Lord, we come lifting up this prayer line. All the thus on this prayer line.
Yes.
Whatever is needed tonight, we ask you to do it, Lord.
Yes,
do it, Lord.
Yes.
Do it, Lord. And
do
we
it,
give you
Lord.
All the praises
the
and all
Jesus.
The glory in the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sister Brenda Lou Britt Williams. And before we say good night, I want to thank all the participants in the session this evening, starting with our opening prayer, Deacon Everett Henderson, the song, especially the Walk in the Word, with Pastor Kuiper and Dr. Minister Deborah Singleton. All the contributions, the comments that were made, Apostle, Deacon Everett, Shakita Maxwell, we thank you so
yes.
much. We thank everybody else for being on the line this evening. And we would look forward to hearing you again on Sunday morning. Amen. Good night.
Good night.
Good night,
all.
Amen.
Amen. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good
night.
Good night,
Scooby D. Scooby D, good night.
Good night, Mad May.
Good night.
Good night.
See ya.
Aurelia. My gorgeous girl.
Good night, everybody.
Well, I'll call you as soon as I get Jig in the bed. Did my mama come on the line tonight, Matt, or she went to sleep?
I don't know. I thought I heard her, though.
She may have went to sleep and missed it. All right, y'all. Talk to y'all. See, and good Lord say so. I'll see y'all tomorrow.
Okay. Night, night. Bye-bye.